The Muffin Junkie serves tunes with your tea.
Take your time. If you live in mine, we go round and round and round. The brightest day.
Breakfast beatniks? Are you lo-fi hipsters? Are you in-the-know listeners? The tuned-in, the turned-on, the awake, the X-dream. That magnificent track of neo-psychedelia the Raving Loony played for you in the show's opener was Everything Is All Right by the Volta Sound. Legends in the Cleveland music scene. And if you dig their music, you're a true fan and you like to get down to the Volta Sound, then pay attention now. Come close and listen to me. Get comfortable, settle in, chillax, and get yourself a healthy dose of muffins and tea. Because my musical guest this morning is from Lakewood, Ohio. He is not only the central creative force and the guitarist and the vocalist from the Volta Sound, but he's also an amazing solo artist, a multi-talented sound engineer, a mastering guru, and an audio wizard, both a hipster and a remixer. All right, kiddos, it's time to hear from our featured artist for a little bit of a musical discussion, a little bit of a chit-chat, a interplay. Would you put your hands together, ladies and gents, for Mike Cormier?
Hey, what's up?
Mike, it's great to talk to you here on the Muffin Junkie this morning.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Volta Sound's music has often been described as psychedelic or space rock.
Okay.
Could I ask you, Mike, if this is a statement with which you would agree? And
sure.
Was the band influenced by the Brian Jonestown Massacre, Pink Floyd, and Spaceman 3?
All three, but not just those three. Tons of everything. Life, doing stuff. I know that sounds like a stupid answer. I love everything. I love all music. Right? I'm into humans. But it's not just me. There were five other dudes at the beginning. And I know that Geddes was all about Uriah Heep and Deep Purple. And Todd loves all the love songs from Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. And Cassidy, he's a guitar shredder who's all about definitely the Pink Floyd stuff, and Syd Barrett. And Mike Prieto, he's just a dude, and he likes, you know, classic rock and anything that's really good. And then you get Ben, and I don't know what Ben's influences are. Never really figured out. Ben's like one of those magicians who's just like influences either everything or he hates everything, and he's who knows, but that makes him magic. And my influence that I brought to the Volta Sound is just kind of an eat life kind of thing. I'm just sort of a hurricane and happened. And okay, so what's the next question? Oh, do I agree with it too? Of course. I mean, have you listened to it? It's total psychedelic rock. What's next?
Right from the get-go, Mike, the Volta Sound was always been a mover, a shaker, and an innovator in the do-it-yourself scene. Instead of signing with an existing label, you took part in creating your own label and made that your prime objective. Now, with that in mind, Mike, could you talk about your band's formation in the 90s, Kent's music scene, and the Volta Sound's role in the Davenport Collective?
The Volta Sound started by itself. I don't know. I wasn't part of the Kent scene. That was Matt Cassidy. He and Tom DeCristofaro, who's also like a local music legend dude with the Afternoon Naps. Those two dudes and Ken Jansen, this is all like the Hitmen. Those two dudes and Ken started that stuff down in Kent, and it had nothing to do with the Volta Sound, and they didn't know that we existed, and we didn't exist, and it was just those dudes. I don't know anything about it, to tell you the truth. My buddy Todd and I, who's in the Volta Sound, we started building a studio, and that was ours. They had nothing to do with Davenport or anything. We didn't even know anything about it. Then those guys, they graduated from college, and they came back to Cleveland, where we were, and they joined on our ship. But they already had a thing called Davenport I just kind of co-opted it. It's really not even related, really. Davenport is, who the hell knows what that is. The Volta Sound is its own beast. It just exists. And Matt and Ben and Todd and Dave and Mike and I, that's it. There's no influence. We just started. What's next?
Everything is all right, my all-American girl. This is the yin and the yang. Dandelion Wine and Gypsy Friends of the Sun are all very groovy psych rock albums that I think are classics, just in my estimation. Could you talk about the track I played in the opener, Everything is All Right? And then, Mike, the two tracks that I'm going to play next for the listeners, My All-American Girl and Anno Domination.
Oh, what do you want me to say about it? I'll tell you this. I used to work at this construction company, and when Everything's All Right got written and then we recorded it, it was just like, you know, da-da-da, here, that we'd been doing that. We had tons of songs. I love sound, so I was always making songs. But when I was working at that construction company, I got into a pickup truck, and I had that song on a CD. And I thought, oh, I'm going to check it out, see how this sounds in the car, because it's kind of cool. And it fucking ruled. We'd all managed to record the song and make it and do it, but I hadn't noticed that it was a really cool tune until then. And that's the first time I think I noticed that the Volta Sound was a cool ass band, not like patting ourselves on our back, cool ass, just sort of like, as if I was, so I'm a huge music fan, so I can see the band sometimes just from being somebody in the audience. In fact, at the end of shows, a lot the band would be rocking, and I don't do shit on the stage except for be my loud, obnoxious self. So at the end of shows, a lot of times they'd just be cruising, and I got nothing to do on there. So I would just go out in the audience and just stand there and be like, I'm at the concert now too. And let me tell you, those five dudes would slay it. They'd stay up there for like another 10 minutes, rocking, and the shit, yeah, man. I'm going to stop myself now before I go on because I can talk a lot.
Mike, I think it's fair to say that when you groovy gang of kids got together in the Vault of Sound, chemical reaction between you all was perfect. Came up with some heavy interstellar riffs and lyrics that form the basis of your mind-blowing songs. Now, Mike, could you also talk about how some members of your group split time between the Vault of Sound and 9-Volt Haunted House, New Planet Trampoline, and the Dreadful Yawns?
Sure. You're right. It was a chemistry thing. Nobody ever got into the Vault of Sound because of their talent. You know, it wasn't like, hey, let me try out and cool, I'm in the band. We all got together first because we could hang out, because we were compatible. That was rule number one. And then, so, we used to practice in Todd's basement, and that was cool. Everybody practices in the basement, right? But you can't keep that up. So we found a place to go play. And since the Vault of Sound doesn't need to play 7 days a week, that's when Ben and Matt started these other bands. Or they brought their other bands. They already had those bands. They didn't start them then. But they got to actually really engage in their own projects and on a concentrated level, because now they didn't have college to deal with and sound ordinances and all that shit. And so immediately, since we could see that the Volta sound was a functioning thing that could be sustained and holy shit, this is fun, they began realizing, I'm going to pursue this with my bands. And they did. They just immediately launched into all that 9-volt haunted house stuff, which is still going on to this day. Matt and Craig are still 9-volt haunted house, and they've gotten way, way better consistently. And Ben with the dreadful yawns, man, he really had a vision. I was always sad that didn't take over the world like Britney Spears. It still could, though, because Ben is really a magician, so...
Mike, we're going to conclude part one of the interview with you by having you talk about the next two back-to-back happening tracks. They're going to take the listeners on a cosmic traveling trip to a higher dimension. What can you tell us about Gracious Guru and There Is No Question?
Gracious Guru, how's that one go? Bling, ding, 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 ding. That one, I was really stressing out on our very first tour out to California, and I think we were on our way there. Either way, we stopped at a friend's house in Albuquerque, and I went out on the front yard to quietly freak the fuck out, and I took the guitar, and in order to calm myself down, that's the song that came out, Gracious Guru. And I think the reason why is because at that moment, it felt like I was very... influenced by some gracious guru. Like somebody had come in and said, here, Mike, calm the shit down. Everything's going to be fine. And it worked. So I called the song itself The Gracious Guru. And when I played it for the other dudes, as typical, I just said, here's my riff, ding, 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 ding. And then here's some melody. And the rest of the song is just those guys doing what they do. I mean, that was super cool to not have to. Whatever. All right. Well, I forget the other part of the question. Hold on. Okay. So, there is no question. That's what you asked. That was later. And I had just stupid fallen in love, like big time, instant love. And in hindsight, I look back and I see that was a chemical reaction. You turn a corner and someone's got the perfect pheromones and the perfect shape and all that stuff, and you just, your body, not you, not the human part, the animal part goes, give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that. And so there she was, and then I went home. And sometime that shortly after there, while that feeling was there, and I got the girl, I sat on the porch, and I was on my way to band practice. Like, band practice was going to be in an hour or two. And I sat on the porch, and I wanted to capture that feeling, that unquestionable force of, I suppose you could call it love, but it was definitely animal attraction. So that song is that. And that really, that song that's on the record was, it went like this. I went on the porch, wrote the riff, and got the sentiment down and all the stuff. I went to band practice. Everybody's there. The band was huge at the time. It was like 10 people in the band, all good friends, and we still know each other. And I said, hey, everybody, here's this brand new song. And I riffed it and played it for them, and I guess it resonated. They all loved it right away and wrote all those parts right then, that day. And I threw some microphones up and tracked the whole thing. And that's what you've got on that record. That song on the record of Dandelion Wine, that recording is the song about 4 hours after birth. And I've never seen any need to upgrade it. Love, man.
All your grief, but it will set you free. You're listening to the Muffin Junkie Serves Tunes with Your Tea, British Columbia's grooviest lo-fi music podcast. Lo-fi music podcast.
Mike, why don't we move forward now and shift gears from talking about the Volta sound and let's talk about your solo material and your collaborations with other artists. What can you tell the listeners of the Muffin Junkie? Anything you'd like to say or mention about your five-track album recorded under the name Planets and titled Questions?
Yeah, sure. That record started off with my son was learning how to play guitar. You know, just a kid. And here, son, here's how you play a D chord. That's what the whole thing was. And so I showed him a D chord. And the thing is that when you show somebody how to do something and they don't have anything to do with it, it doesn't count. It doesn't do anything. So the next step was, hey, man, let me show you what you can do with a D chord. And pick some, what song is in D? And what goes on from the Velvet Underground? Turns out it's in D. So, and plus it has a G and a C in it or something. So I showed it to Khalil. But in order to do that, I wanted him to stay on rhythm too. And I said, here, let me make a beat for you so you can just have something to play along to. And I like making beats, so I made the beat and we did the song. So that just kept rolling for a while. And I realized that, I mean, I was having so much fun using samples. And so I just made a bunch more songs with the samples. I don't have much else to say about that. Well, I love dance music, too, a lot. So there you go, back with that Volta sound stuff. You know, that stuff is rock and roll, not because we intended it, but we're just a bunch of dudes who played like that. And that's really cool. We really like that. But I'd like to bring up that this stuff by Planets and the new stuff that we're doing called Words, that stuff is almost entirely built on dance music. But we're still psychedelic at heart. I just like to dance. I got born as one of those people with a body that oscillates. It just, you turn on music and your body moves. Like, my body's moving right now when I'm talking to you because it's an oscillator. And the better the music is and the more danceable it is, the more my body oscillates to it. And I guess it's called getting down. So I can get down. And that's what this music is about. So it started off teaching my kid how to play a D chord. But now, it's anytime that I make some music that's dance music or sampled. And I think it's cool. And I don't know that there's even going to be any more stuff called Planets, but life is long, dude. There's always time.
Ah, Mike, I dig that you're shaking your tailbone right along with the rest of us. Ah, as you're making this solo material that we all love. But right now, Mike, I'm going to cue up a track from your Planets album. I'm wondering if you could talk about it, make a little bit of a statement, a disclosure about this track from the album called What Goes On Closer.
That is a Velvet Underground song called What Goes On. I forget what record it's on, but everybody totally knows that song, dude. I just told the story about it. I wanted to teach my son a song in D.
Do what you should. Know where the world goes around.
like I said, it might be far out and lots of trippy fun if you'd tell the listeners now about your collaboration with Nameless and members of Magic Castles and a collection called View Dreamies Volume 1.
What did you say? Dreamies?
How do you say it?
I don't really know how to pronounce it. I think it's Bureems. I mean, it's... I talked to Zorian. The radio station here in town called us once. We called the Ukraine. We called the freaking Ukraine. It was so badass. And we talked to Zorian over there and did the same thing we're doing right here. I'm pretty sure he said Bureems. But that... Okay, so for that, you got to go back a little bit. It's... I love this story. This dude, Pete Relic, and I'm going to release some tracks where he's on called Relics soon. He was in the band for a hot minute, and he played trombone, but this dude was a poetic wizard. He would come to practice. Shit. He would come to practice. I just blew in the microphone. Boom. He would come to practice, and he would hand me a pad, and we did this a lot. It was so much fun. And he had two lines on the top, like a poem, like he just started. And he never said what to do the first time. He just gave it to me. Here, Mike, is all he said. And so it's not hard to catch on. So I wrote two lines to finish his poem. He knows what it was. And we got tomes of those things. Well, maybe not tomes, but we did a lot. And it was so much fun to write poetry with another person, not discussing it or anything. That purity of wizardry was fun. And I told that story to Zorian just in conversation. And he, hey, we have a thing called Bureems like that in Ukraine. I don't know what the whole deal is, but he said, let's make that with music. And so I said, sure, shit. I don't know who sent who the first thing, but those guys, Nameless, know how they record stuff all the time. And if they know how to write songs all the time. It's easy to write songs. And so they would just hear some stuff and send it over here. And then I would just take it down to the studio or the Davenport spot. And they're Ukrainian. So, I mean, listen to it. They sound so good. Everybody would say, what is this? And I would say, it's a really cool song. Well, you want to play on it? And of course, everybody would want to play on it. So it would just throw a microphone down real quick and here, come up with a part to go on it. And it just blew up. They would write songs and send it. I would write songs and send it. Chad wrote some songs and sent. And it just got so good, we could just send it back and forth. But it still takes a lot of energy. So we made this one, this whole album. It took a couple months. It wasn't like a focused thing. And we'll do more for life, because I don't know if you've met Zorian, Svetlana, and Natalia, and Sergio, and I don't remember what the other guy's name, Vadim. Of course you keep people like that forever, and hell yeah, you make records with those people forever. Find them and keep them, yo.
Mike, I couldn't agree more. Nameless was in fact the special featured artist on Muffin Junkie 12. It was a 2.5-hour podcast that featured much of their music and interviews with Zorian Beskurovini, the main songwriter and the guitarist. And it was an excellent podcast. For anyone that hasn't heard that, go back and treat yourself to that, because they are the premier band in the Ukraine. Right now, Mike, I'd like to play a song from Volume 1 called To the Wolves. I want to give the listeners a little taste, a treat. What can you tell us about this song I'm going to play with the addictive beat?
All right, well, I think I'm the one who did that beat, I think. And I love the way I play drums. I'm not bragging or anything, but sometimes you got to step out of yourself, a little bit out of body experience, and look back. I've always dug the way I play the drums because I like to dance. And so I think that there's a little tiny dancer in me. Oh, shit, was that an Elton John reference? Okay, I think that there's like a little tiny dancer inside me. And that's the dude that played those drums. But I can't be sure. That might have been Nameless. I'll have to ask them sometime. And the song was by Chad Hill. All right, play the song.
All of us, we run sometimes. Some of us have to the lion. We're side by side. Some of us, we fuck up sometimes.
Now about your current album, a father and son joint musical venture under the name Words. Can you give us the skinny, the inside scoop about this album you and your son made together called Olive Juice Soup?
I got a call to play the Austin Psych Fest with the Volta Sound. Hey, will you come do this friggin' festival? And hell yeah, right? So I needed to put a band together, and Khalil, my son, was up here, and he was with Dylan Glover, and it was really cool, man. You don't even know what it's like to sit there and go, hey man, this song is an E. Can you play along? And then it just takes off like that. They're so friggin' good, and that led to what we're talking about here, this Words, because Dylan doesn't live here. He's a friend of my son's, but my son lives here, and we're just around each other all the time, and he walks up here and he sits behind that piano. Hey, what's up, Dad? And starts playing. That's it. That is how that goes every single time. Now, if that's the situation, why not whip out the microphones and do stuff, right? I mean, you got something better to do? And that's Words.
Mike, this next question is particularly trippy. I thought that we'd talk about...
Excuse
me, Mike, just hold on for a minute. Barry, what are you doing here? This is live, and I'm talking to Mike Cormier. I'm in the middle of an interview about Mike and his music.
I'm a huge fan of Mike Cormier.
Barry, this isn't really the time for that. Oh, my Lord. I'm sorry, listeners, and I'm sorry, Mike. Barry's our night janitor here, folks. It was great to hear from you, Barry, but I'm going to have to whisk you away now. We're going to get back to the interview with Mike Cormier. So, Mike, Barry, would you stop interrupting, please? Let's not forget that this is my show. I am the Raving Loony.
Sorry, Jerry, I just found my coffee break, taking a break in between cleaning the floors and the urinals and the washroom here at the Muffin Junkie Studio. And I was so excited when I heard that Mike was going to be on the show. I know that Mike is also into philosophy.
Hell yeah.
I'd like to ask Mike, could I ask you a question about philosophy, Mike?
Yes.
Mike, I am so sorry.
Don't sweat it, dude.
I'm a little bit embarrassed here. I'm not laughing nervously. I want to apologize to all the listeners. Barry's been under a little stress right now.
Perhaps
some family obligations are kind of playing on his mind. Mike, with that in mind, could you humor Barry and let him ask you a question?
Yes.
About philosophy. And then I'll have the two friends at the front, the security officers, escort Barry out of the building to a happier location where he can rest and have some recuperation, shall we say? All right, Barry, here we go. Let me just fix you up with this set of headsets, and you can just speak your question right into the mic. Right there.
Oh, God. What am I doing with the mic?
Barry, here, let me just adjust the mic for you. It's not as easy as it looks. I'll give you a hint. But just take it down a notch, keep relaxed, and ask Mike your question now, Barry.
Mike, besides my job here as a janitor in the wee hours of the morning, I also find time to have a side business that provides quality adult entertainment. But I'm not here to talk about that right now. My question to you is about philosophy.
Okay.
I know of your love of it. I am also studying philosophy via online course. And could I ask you just how much has Socrates influenced the Volta sound? And also, do you apply the Socratic method when you're writing a song?
He's had all the influence because that dude influenced everyone who came before us. Like, so, hell yeah, he had direct influence because stuff hasn't changed. Socrates asked some really good questions. The Socratic method, I think I live by it. I've read about it. I know what it is. I haven't memorized it. I should. But I think I was surprised to find out, oh, hey, dude, look how smart you are. I figured out the Socratic method mostly just by thinking. And then when I read Socrates, it was, oh, wow, that's far out. But more interesting than that is Thales, dude. Thales was the best one. There was this one. Okay, there's this city east of Greece, across the Aegean to the east, and it was called Meridus, and it was a really, really prosperous town. It was a port city, and they did a lot of thinking there, stuff, because they had education, they had language, and they had writing, and they were Greek. They spoke Greek, and there was a guy there named Thales, and Thales was this really, really intelligent guy, and he was part of the thinkers. And because not everybody had to be out in the fields at this point, they'd already gotten agriculture and everything, and there were cities, and this dude didn't have to go grow beans or raise cows or whatever. He just lived in the city. And so he had free time to think, and he had some buddies who had free time to think, and they would get together in these little clubs, and they would just think about things, and they would have answers to them, and that's cool, right? I mean, we still do that to this day. So you have to picture, let's call it, it was like a Tuesday. Say it was Tuesday morning, Thales wakes up, and it's just a regular Tuesday. Hi, thanks, I'm Thales. Let's have some food. And then he has a thought. Something occurs to him. So he writes it down, and he thinks, oh, I think I'll take this to the club tonight and show it to my buddies. So he goes all day long. He goes to the club. And, no, all day long, he just sits there and thinks about this thing because he doesn't have an answer to it. So he takes it to his buddies, and he shows it to his buddies. And the proposition is this. All right, all things are in flux. You can look around. Even rocks crumble. We can see that mountains fall. Water is always moving, people are always growing, dying. This desk used to be a tree, now it's a desk. Eventually it will rot and it will become everything, including metals, they turn to rust, you name it. Everything is in constant flux, everything changes constantly, nothing stands still. So he posed a two-part question, and his question was, if everything is always changing, how can we know anything? You can't know anything for sure because it's always changing. We can just do our best. And that was a legit question. He wasn't being facetious. And then the second part was, And if everything is changing, is there one thing underlying all things that does not change? And can we know it? And those were the questions. And everybody said, oh, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to think, all right, that's great. And they took that around town and they put up on a piece of paper and like, hey, well, you know, and they're figuring they'll come up with an answer to this, right? You know, it's just a problem. Oh, okay, give it a while. You know, sometimes it takes a little time to think of things. But on their way out of the door, Thales, one last thing, guys. God didn't do it. All right, I don't want to hear any more of that. That's the important part. That Thales was like, you don't get to tell me that Mercury is the underlying. It's not. It's not a dude up on a mountain. He said, it's not. It's not any. Just you don't get any gods. No gods. Gods are out. And everybody walked out the door. And if you don't apply that God part, there's no freaking answer to it. That's what they found out. It spread everywhere. But that's called thinking scientifically, and he invented it. And that was the seed. Pink, drop that into the... And that's why I'm excited about the Higgs boson, because the Higgs boson... Well, you have to look it up. It's really complex. But if we find that sucker, then we finally get to answer Thales' question, possibly with a yes. There is one underlying, unchanging thing. And this is it. All right.
Oh, Mike, that was a heavy answer. Well done. Now there's two gentlemen here. I have Frank and Nick. They're come to help Barry out of the building. Okay, Barry, go with these nice men.
Come on, Barry. I can do this the easy way or the hard way. I don't want to hurt you, but just come with me. Come on out to the parking lot. We're going to take you first.
There's no need for these two meat monkeys to hurt me. Listen, I got an idea, Mike. A spoken word philosophy album, a dubstep album that you mixed, possibly a tripped out track with about Nietzsche, and there's another one there, a little melancholy about Schopenhauer. Oh, Frank, let go of my arm, oh, God, yeah.
Is a psychedelic trip. The Raving Loony plays the best lo-fi sounds from every country and city and town.
All right, kiddos, it's time for the weather report with our metagalactic metaphysical meteorologist, Cosmic Jimmy. And then, while you're listening to that, I'm going to attempt to reset and restore order here. After all the chaotic commotion and disruption caused by that unscheduled interruption earlier here, and then we'll return to the final portion of the interview with our special guest, Mike Cormier.
This is Cosmic Jimmy. I'm going to bring you the weather report in just a second. First off, Jay, I wanted to comment on what just transpired here in the Buffett Junkie studio with Barry. I think it's uncalled for. I think it's outrageous. I think it's over the top. Barry's a friend of mine. We go way back. We were roommates in college. He's an outstanding fellow. I think what you've done to him is he's going to require many sessions of therapy. So I think that you owe him an apology. I've been out there at Walmart gathering up. I've got a petition that's circulating around. The petition is to have you removed from your position. It's a great abuse of power. So I know you're my boss. I will do the weather report, but I need to get this off my chest and on the air and out to the listeners. They need to support Barry. He cleans up the studio very well. We know he does. We've got proof. You should have seen how it was before he came. And I thank you for allowing him to have the job there. But anyway, Jay, this is outrageous. And I'm not going to be a part of this show unless I see some apologies going on and some behavior modification. But anyway, you've earned your name, Loony, Raving Loony. So just be forewarned. That petition is circulating, and all we need is, I think, 500 signatures because it's a small studio. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead with the report. The report is over in Athens, Greece. You know, we've been talking about philosophy and whatnot, this podcast over in Athens, Greece this week. It's in the 60s. It's not too bad. It's actually partly sunny. mostly sunny most of the week. It's going down to the low 50s and into the 40s on Sunday, so it looks like it's going to be dry. You know, not a lot of lightning bolts going around. The gods are not too angry, so it'll be all right there. Over in Istanbul, just across the GNC, we've got a little bit cooler than in Athens. We got some rain midweek into the 40s, but, if you get over there, just, you know, get a whatever they got over there. But in Lakewood, Ohio, where our guest is from, it's pretty cold this week. Actually, it's got some snow even tonight, later on, warming up a little bit this weekend. But next week, early, wow, into the teens, snow showers, but clearing up Thursday next week, but cloudy. So, yeah, bundle up. And Jay, like I said, the petition is circulating, so I'm not going to put up with it. Socrates was a fine gentleman. You know it. I know it. We all know it. I just suggest that you follow the Socratic method. Let Barry talk. Let, you know, he can ask questions. You can give answers. We all give answers and questions. So sorry if this is a long-winded weather report with not much weather, but, you know.
That's right. Shut it off. Mike, I'm sorry. I just want to say a few words to Cosmic Jimmy and to Barry, if he's out there listening, before we return to your interview. I just want you to know that both you, Barry, and Jimmy, that people are our greatest resource here at the Muffin Junkie. And I deeply value the both of your individual contributions, and with that in mind, I want the both of you to leave next Saturday open, because I've got a special team-building exercise. I'm going to pick you up at 8 a.m., and we'll spend the entire day and most of the night together. Yeah, we'll play a round of frisbee golf. And Jimmy, you can tell me about that petition that you had mentioned. We'll talk about that over maybe a chuck steak and some half-price omelet. But that's not all, Cosmic Jimmy and Barry. No, no, no. I've also arranged for each of you to have their own individual pencil and notepad set with a Muffin Junkie logo on it to further encourage your individual creativity. We're all about innovation here at the Muffin Junkie Studio, and it's completely green and environmentally friendly. Okay, we're going to get back to the show now and hear more from the interview with Mike Corby. Mike, you have the website where the listeners can check out the various albums by the Volta Sound and your collaborations with Nameless and Magic Castles and other artists, and all of your solo material and, of course, your brand new songs. How did you come up with the name for the website, Shut Up Mike? That title when you created http://shutupmike.bandcamp.com.
Wow, professional delivery there, dude. .com. I want you to come do my basketball games. I have shutupmike.com. You don't need all that Bandcamp stuff. And Steph is building the website right now as we talk. Shut Up Mike. That's because I've always had... All right. I'll tell you what happened. I talk a lot, but I don't just gibber a lot. And it's not just even talking. It's output. Output, a steady stream. When I was 10 years old, I was lying in bed. And they must have just told me something at school about, like, your brain works at some ludicrous speed. You know, you've gone plaid. And I was thinking to myself, no, it doesn't. Because it only goes as fast as I'm talking. You know, think in your mind. When it's a ticker tape across the... Inside, there's a conversation going on inside you, and it has words. And some part of my little 10-year-old brain thought, hold up, where are the words coming from? What's going on before you turn this stuff into words? And so I tried it, and it turns out that you don't need language to understand your own thoughts. And the thought processes are constantly happening at incredible rates, and we have to stop, and whatever language you speak, Chinese, German, Swahili, English, whatever, then you have to stop, and since you were a small child, you practice turning those thoughts into a language. You practice that in your head. That's what we think is thinking, but it's not. That's just us practicing translating our thoughts into a language so that we can then potentially open our mouths and bark at another human being in certain patterns. Arp, arp, arp. Hi, I am Mike. That's just language. So I've been practicing since a very small child, not bothering turning it into English in my mind. And so I'm accustomed with the thoughts and comprehension's coming fast and easy, but since it takes a lot of words to translate them. It's exponential. So I call it shutupmike.com, really. Then there's the simple reason is because I've thought, well, what kind of .com could I get that actually is me? You know, digsbluesocks.com or likesfatbutts.com. I don't, you know, things that are just generic that you would want to get. And I thought, oh my God, everybody's probably, every time I open my mouth, I bet everyone around me is going, Jesus, shut up, Mike. So I thought, okay, that's perfect. And then two is like, I could probably walk down the street and just tell a stranger, hey, shutupmike.com, and they'll friggin' remember that. And so I was out on the corner holding my little street sign. All that came to me all at once. And I thought, bam, that's done. I texted Steph and said, do it. And she did. All right, see, it took a long time to tell.
I think all the listeners would agree out there that everybody likes a good threesome. being naughty. The Raven Looney's being down and dirty. But right now, Mike, could you talk about this next trio of songs from your Words album?
Holy shit,
that
three.
I'm going to play back to back in line. Messy.
All right.
Never got
all right, I
got
to write this down. Messy.
Just one more time.
Okay, that's all words. Those are all word songs. Oh, boy. What about them? Okay, so my son taught him the D chord. Sounds like a funny. And now, in the same place that we made those songs on Planet, got this attic studio, and that was a while ago when he learned that D chord, but now he's a much better musician than I am, because, you know, when you teach things to children, holy shit, right? And so now we are up in the attic, and sometimes he sits at this piano and comes up with riffs, and I know how to write a song lickety-split, because I've been doing it for a long time, and it's a piece of cake, and we just sit here and go, ooh, I like that riff. Oh, no, do this. All right, try that. And he's really open to it, and he's really into it, and it's nice, you know. He's transcended a lot of the ego stuff, and the ego's cool, you gotta listen to it, but you can't let it tell you what to do all the time. And we make these songs. We sit up here in the attic, and then maybe I'll just come up with a riff, he'll play the piano, and if we really like how it grooves, and so far we always do, we explore it. And usually within about couple hours, we've worked out a quick little tune, and then I throw together a little recording setup, and we start going at it. Now, the drummer from the Volta Sound, Rick Spitowski, he's with Extra Medium Pony and Dreadful Yawns, and Nicholas McGallis, who's friggin' famous on Vine or some shit, and what was I saying? He's the drummer for the Volta Sound, will be playing the drums on those songs and others in the future. Because it's a three piece. Huh. Ben from the Volta Sound showed up on one drums on one of those tracks. I forget which one. But those things are all just this new stuff, and we like calling it words because I talk a lot and words are really important. And that's it. I hate to be so simple, man. And we're gonna make a bunch of that stuff. It's all words. Like, there's not going to be any new Volta Sound probably for a long, long time. But there's going to be lots of words. Because why not? 1, 2, 3, 4.
I walk. her asleep in a dream. But we never got saved. We never got saved. We never got saved.
I wanted to thank you for helping put together this podcast, granting us permission to play your music, and, of course, doing this interview here today on this special edition of the Muffin Junkie Psychedelic Morning Show. Could I ask you, Mike, what's next for Mike Cormier in terms of new musical projects and collaborations with others in terms of audio mixing and so forth? And do you have any final words of wisdom for the Muffin Junkie listeners before you go?
I never have any idea what's coming next. I, rather than making plans and then having them fall apart, which was so infuriating, and again, like, oh, shit didn't turn out the way you wanted it, or I thought you were going to do this. I thought there's got to be a better way to get by than doing that, because plans always fail. So rather than making plans, I just decided, all right, let's just have faith that, dude, something's going to come out. Every day, something comes out. So I just always make stuff, and records just show up. I hardly ever plan records anymore. It's just, there comes a time where I say, oh, look, there's this freaking collection of songs. These sound really good together. Hey, dude, what are you doing today? Let's put a record out. That's typically how it goes. But I do know that Khalil and I are going to actually focus a little bit on doing some music up here intentionally as words, calling it a thing. But we've already discussed the parameters and what our thoughts are about how we're making it and what the music is for. And we realize that once you've got that, you don't have to worry about it. As long as you know what the music is for and kind of what each other want to make, it could be another year or two before we finally do it. You just have to remember over that bowl of oatmeal in the morning, hey, what are you doing today? Nothing. You want to do words? That's a great idea. Any words of wisdom? Stay alive, make more, man. Later, dude.
Thanks again, Mike, for being a great guest and a great sport. And for having a lot of patience during all the interruptions that occurred during the show today. So we're going to have to wind it down now. As I say, all good things must come to an end. But we're not quite yet done. We're going to go out on a positive note with two great tracks from the Volta Sound. I'll talk about them in a moment. But before I do, I wanted to thank Khalil Cormier and Dylan Glover, and as well as all the past members in the various lineups of the Volta Sound. Thank you to all of you as well. All right, kiddos, I got a special recommendation before I let you go to enjoy the sunshine and your weekend out there, and whatever you're up to, maybe some skinny dipping. It's cold out there. It's the middle of winter. Be careful of your lower extremities. I'm going to leave it at that. But seriously, folks, I recommend you check out a few songs for Sun's EP by Nameless and remixed by today's special guest, Mike Cormier, in 32-bit sound, and it's available on Mike's shutupmike.com website for free download. So check that one out. Yours truly, the Raven Looney, is going to end today's podcast with two rare back-to-back tracks. You're going to hear Last Train to Painesville, Hello Cleveland from the Volta Sound and their Rare Relics album. And the other rare tune is called We'll Be Fine and is from the Volta Sound and their Austin album. Both fine albums. All right, enjoy your weekend, everyone, and keep listening to British Columbia's grooviest lo-fi music podcast.
Hello, Cleveland. Don't ask the questions, just get in the way.